Welcome to the Living Word Assemblies of God Toronto podcast. As the Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Yes, it is the complete human experience. So relax and re-energize yourself with this powerful word.
All right, are you happy you are in church today? All right, the spirit of Christmas. Look at somebody's face and tell him this is the spirit of Christmas. You don't look like you're celebrating Christmas. Tell him, why are you like that? Why are you like that? You look like you're celebrating Christmas. All right. I want to appreciate all the leaders, the board, and all the leaders who showed up yesterday. Thank you very much. God richly bless you. No, the church is moving forward. We are still trusting God, and we are going to ask you to continue to, you know, sacrifice a little bit more for us, for the sake of our children, and then for the sake of the next generation, and then for the sake of the community. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
All right. So when you hear about Christmas, what goes on in your mind? You know, what are the memories? Some of the memories that flashes. You know, Christmas. Like, I'm sure some of you... What? What are you saying, jollof? You know, today, jollof has become so common, you don't see the significance. Look, there are certain things that have become common today, so we don't even see the significance. But when we were growing up, and some of your grandmothers were growing up, there were certain things like mineral, the juice that you have so common today. We had them only during Christmas. Biscuits, you know, Piccadilly biscuits. Yeah, those of you are from Jamaica. You know, Christmas for Africa. That was when we, you know, something like chicken. It wasn't common, so you only had chicken at Christmas, and even that one, some of you. You only had access to the intestines. Some even had access only to the leg and the fingers. And those were the parts that you enjoyed. You see that you enjoyed them. You were thanking God and celebrating Christmas. Wow. Hey, that is G. That is Chi English. It means the Lord has done some. Look at your neighbor and tell him the Lord has done some. Amen. All right, so I'm speaking about the spirit of Christmas, and the theme is the Savior is born. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Now, personally, when I think about Christmas, I think about different things. First of all, I think about relationships. When I had the opportunity to go to Ghana this time, and I was teaching at Sorbonne Bible School. Some of you know I come from Anamabu, so from Sorbonne to Anamabu is not too far. So I made the decision to visit my uncle. Now, my uncle brings into memory Christmas. Because as a young boy growing up, he was working as a military man living in Burma camp. Those of you know. So every Christmas, my parents would tell us, all of us look forward to it. All of us look forward to it. So for me, it was such a delight to go back see him. Now he's bedridden, lying on bed. He couldn't wake up. They put him in diapers. And when I went in and I saw him, I nearly cried. But I thank God because he's still alive and I could see him. He wanted to behave like he was still the old soldier man. Well, when he heard I'd come, and I went with my sister, Ben's mom. So we're there, and he wanted to wake up. And I said, no, uncle, please, just lie down. Don't worry, I've come because of you. I've come to see you and then say hi to you. and so on and so forth. It was like, who is this? Is this mentioned the names? I mentioned that. I said, yeah, that's me. You got it right. Your memory is sharp. At least you were once a soldier. And then I began to narrate myself. No, uncle, I have to come. He said, you have done very well. Why? I said, I had to come. Because any time I remember you, I remember that it was during the days where you were there that Christmas we had times to visit and then enjoy chicken and rice and steam and polo. Because the wife was preparing polo. So polo. And then they will give us, when we are all going, they will give us money. You know, yeah. That's better Christmas. It brought relationship. Okay, so I'm talking about the spirit of Christmas, and that's why today I intentionally dress Christmas so at least you get to know. So for some people, Christmas is about Santa Claus, like, you know, where Santa Claus giving up things to people. For some people, you know, Christmas is about giving up things, and it's good because the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And God, great an example, for God so loved the world, he did not love the trees or the oceans or the sea or other things, but God so loves humanity. For God so loved people. And ladies and gentlemen, these people we are talking about are not just people who are so good that God has to love them. Sometimes I look at myself and I look at you seated here, so nice, so powerful, so handsome, so beautiful, so dancing. And yet, if it had not been but for this gift of Christmas, we couldn't even have the opportunity to even dance, because you yourself know that you don't even qualify to dance. No, you and I, we know that we don't even qualify to even sit here. Because even after saving us, after delivering us, after saying we have accepted him as our Lord and personal Savior, there are things that we still do. Amen. This morning, as Sankofa was asking, I said, do people still believe that Christmas has significance? It's not just about things, not just about clothing, not just about whatever you can imagine, not about chicken or fish or Santa Claus or shoes or whatever. But what is it? Christmas. You know, but I think it's about gift. All right. Let me see if I can. Is anybody here celebrating his birthday today? Is somebody's birthday today? Oh, nobody. Oh, whose birthday will be tomorrow? Nobody. Okay. Let me go to the past. Whose birthday was last week? Like, you celebrated your birthday last week. Raise your hand. Last week, from Monday to... Okay, raise your hand. Let me see. I want to give us some. All right, so I have three gifts to give. So, one, birthday, happy birthday. I saw one hand here very fast, happy birthday. And then who else? Oh, happy birthday. Just something small, just to, you know, because I was speaking at Sankofa, I told them four things you have to do during this Christmas. First of all, the first thing you need to do during this Christmas is that you have to trust God with your life. Number two, you have to be prepared, because Mary was surprised. Zachariah was surprised. Christmas is bringing surprises. You will be surprised. No, seriously. And then this Christmas, you have to make sure, be intentional and do good to somebody. No, you have to intentionally do good. And that is why I am doing the food drive. This Christmas, you have been bringing food items for the needy. Half of this Christmas is this pastor's food drive. You know, so my mate is not there, so I don't go to grocery. But yesterday night, I had to go to Walmart. And then I pick up some oil, because they told me they need oil. People need oil for Christmas. I pick up some couple of oil and then sugar and so on. So please, I want you to join me to make sure that we surprise people this Christmas. No, we have to help people. Put your hands together and celebrate him. Amen. And then the fourth thing you need to do this Christmas is that you have to tell somebody about this Christmas story. You have to tell him about Jesus. You have to tell somebody about Jesus. If you can't tell anybody about Jesus, invite somebody to church this Christmas. There are two things that happen. There are so many people in our community. Ordinarily, normally, they wouldn't go to church. But when Christmas is coming, they will go. Find out those people, invite them. And when they will come, God will give them gifts. Now, it's not just about the gifts that we have, but I'm sure that you are thinking about what we are and why God is doing what he's doing. Are you happy you came to church today? So today we begin our fourth series on the spirit of Christmas.
The Savior is born.
Indeed, the Savior is born. The Savior is born. So what kind of Savior is born? Why was he born? And what does that mean to the world and to humanity? What does Christmas mean to you? And what kind of memories do you have when you think about Christmas? Ladies and gentlemen, Christmas, among other things, means hope to the hopeless world. It means peace to the peaceless world. It means love to the loveless world and joy to the joyless world. But let me begin. Someone has said, if we needed to laugh, God would have sent a comedian. If we needed to be entertained, God would have sent a rock star, a movie star, or some superstar. If we needed protection, God would have sent us a superhero, some courageous captain. If we needed to get organized, God would have sent us someone politically genuine person. If we needed technological advancement, God would have sent us a brilliant scientist. If we needed to feel good about ourselves, God would have sent us amazingly great motivational speaker. Somebody can speak to mesmerize us. If we needed money, God would have sent some billionaire, trillionaire, quadrillionaire to come and then give us money. Ladies and gentlemen, what did we really need? What was our need? What was our need? What was the need to merit God giving his only begotten son to come and die? What is it? It's not our thing, because without Christ, now backtrack, go back 3,000, 5,000 years ago, before even Jesus was born, people were making it. People were laughing. If you go to Israel right now, those amphitheaters, there are signs of them. People gathered there, over thousands, 5,000, 10,000 people gathered to celebrate, to jubilate, to entertain themselves, to be excited. So it has nothing or very little to do with those things. Why Christmas? Look at Matthew chapter 1 verse 18. I want you to understand that it's not about those things, even though it embedded. Matthew chapter 1, 18 to 25. The Bible says that now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now listen carefully. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord has bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. He called his name Jesus. Are you getting the point? Okay, so in the Christmas story, what I want you to know is that we needed a savior. Someone to save us from our sin. Someone to save us from the power of sin. And God had Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, whom John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. What we needed was somebody to come and help us, give us power over sin. Wow. Sometimes I really wonder, because still people are still struggling. The sad thing is that sometimes today we have people in church who have been in church for years, and yet this power of the gospel, this message of the Savior, is not real in their lives. No, it is by faith in him. He can do it. He can do it. Wow. It's very simple. But it's very potent. You can be a pastor and preach and sweat like I'm doing this morning and not be born again. Yeah. You can be a deaconess, a deacon, a pope, a bishop, an archbishop, a member, okay, a chorister, a choir master. I see David behind the camera. A cameraman. And yet, not be born again. Because when you are born again, it will show. In fact, you don't. When you are born again, you will know you are born again. When you are born again, your life will prove it. No, it's not argument. You don't fight. If you are not born again, you are born against. Are you getting the point? Yeah. Wow. You have powerful gifts. I've seen some camera woman behind the camera. When you are born again, the world will know it. Your wife will know it. Your husband will know it. Your pastor will know it. Your children will know it. Yeah. Another time, I have to talk to you about how will you know you are born again. And at this time, of us will have to know. So we can start marking ourselves and know whether we are born again or born against. So the spirit of Christmas gives us hope that, look, when there seems to be no hope, gives us hope. There are four things we are going to look at through this Christmas period. Okay, so we want you to know that the gift that God has given to us is not just about things that has to do with us, but the spirit of Christmas gives us peace. It's only God who gives the peace. And I can assure you, and we'll look at us this one next week. The third week, where we are going to use to celebrate, we want you to know that the spirit of Christmas gives us love. Now love, not as you think, but come as the Lord has revealed. The spirit of Christmas today really helped us, led us to sing. The spirit of Christmas gives us joy. Not the way you think about, but invite somebody and let the person come. Because the spirit of Christmas is the only spirit that connects you to true joy. It's not the one that you think about, but for this morning. And for this morning, I want you to leave this house going, knowing that the spirit of Christmas gives us hope. Yeah. It gives us hope. That is the reason why every Sunday I wake up and I come and I still preach. Because it gives me hope. Because some of you, when I look at you and I hear the things, some of the things you do, sometimes I feel like opening the ground and entering inside. When you look at the world, look at the country in which we are. So nice and so beautiful. And yet, some of the policies that are being passed, some of the evil things that is happening, the destruction of the next generation. You look at it and you wonder, you ask yourself, is there any hope for this country? I have come to announce to you, because of the significance of Christmas, there is hope to this world. No, there's hope to our next generation. Amen. There is hope for our children. Amen. And I want you to know, look at your neighbor's face and say, look, sometimes, but I know there is hope for you. You turn to your neighbor and tell him there's hope for you. Yeah. Are you happy you came to church? No, there's all of us, most of us find ourselves in different scenarios. You know, for some of you, you're wondering, you look at yourself. You look at your aging. And some of the things that become so common for people is not common for you. You look at your health. And you find it very difficult. You struggle even to wake up. You say, is this going to work? You've been in this country for some time. You're not too sure whether you are staying or you are moving. Yeah. And there are scenarios. You look at the marriage that you find yourself in. And sometimes you ask yourself, did I make the right decision to marry, or I shouldn't have married, or so, you know? So we have different persons. So today, some of you look at your children, and then sometimes you wonder, I think I shouldn't even have brought them here, or maybe I shouldn't even have delivered them here. Maybe I should have even left them back home in Ghana. Like, there are different scenarios, but I've come this morning to encourage you. Amen. To let you know that, look, there is hope. Yes. Yeah, there is hope. There's hope for you. There is hope. You know, because see, the Bible says that if for us as Christians, if the only hope we have is in this world, then we are among all people the most miserable. Look at your neighbor's face and tell him, there is hope for you. I believe it. Wow. Amen. Okay, let's begin, because if I don't begin, I won't finish. What is hope? So hope has a general meaning. Okay, so generally, it is the anticipation of the outcome of the future. Okay, hope has to do connect you. You have to have something to connect you with the future. But this morning, I want us to spend our time in the scriptures. So in scripture, hope is confident expectation of the future, describing both the act of hoping and the object hoped for. So the act of hoping, you yourself continually believing, and then the object, the person, the thing that you put yourself in. For some of us, we hope, our hope is in a Canadian passport. Yeah, that's where your hope is. And even that, when you got it, the thing is still lying down. Look at the way you struggle to get the passport. And now it's just lying down. You're not even using it for anything. You just lift it up and look at it and say, yeah, I need a partner. Some of us, our hope, I'm talking about the object of your hope. Because some of us, our hope is in the money we have, our bank account. You look at the money and you just smile and say, wow, God, thank you for the money. And sometimes you allow even the money to distract you. Some of us, our hope is in our jobs. Some of us, our hope is in the schools that we attend, the qualifications that we have. Some of us, our hope is in the things of this world. Our hope is in our cars. There are some people, the way they treat their cars, you think the car is God. Yeah. Their children or even their wives cannot even touch it. Hey, hey, who told you to touch the car? The object of your hope. You know, the object of your hope. But the Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? So let's look at it carefully. First of all, I'm looking at hope as confidence. Okay? So hope means more than a vague wish that something will happen. It is a sure and confident expectation in God's future faithfulness and presence. You know, it is the confidence assurance you have in God. So the object of your hope is not in the things you have. It's not even in your health. It's not even in your life. Yesterday, before I went to bed, I went to stand on my treadmill to exercise a little bit. And I was praying in my head. I said, God, my body I give you, because I need to exercise so that at least I can stay fit to be able to, for you to use me to preach well. Yeah. Amen. It's in Him. Okay, it's in Him. Somebody has said, the grace, the faith we need for us to be born again is free. But what you need to do to stay as a true believer, as a true Christian, is not free. It is hard work. It is discipline. It is obedience. It is consistency. Can I hear amen? Amen. You know, and that's what happens. Some of us, you know, we try as much as possible. We work very hard to become Canadians. And then the moment you land there, you have stopped. All your vision, everything is dead. It's gone with the paper. So you can't even progress. I believe in Ghanaians. Look at some of you, all of you. Look at the kind of struggle you struggled to get here. The creativity, the innovation you had, even to enable you to pass through customs and all those things, for you to land here. And then when you landed, you thought this one was heaven, so you are finished. I pray that during this Christmas, your hope will be resurrected. Yeah, your vision will be resurrected, because it is in Christ alone. Confident assurance in the faithfulness and the presence of God. The horizon of Christian hope extends beyond death into an eternity prepared by God Himself, the reality of which is guaranteed by Jesus Christ. That whatever will happen to you in the future is guaranteed in Christ. If you don't have Him, you don't have hope. But if you have Him, even in this world, if all the things that people are talking about, you don't get it. Now, granted, you don't get the husband you want. You don't get the child you want. You don't get the car you want. You don't get the things you want. When you die, you will be with Him. Yes. Now, in Christ, this is found only in Christ. But come to think of it, you can get all those things and you will die and leave them. Yeah. You'll die and leave them. I'm talking about hope. God and Jesus Christ are the hope of believers. So these are certain facts about hope. Look at the scripture. 1 Peter 1:21. The Bible says, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Friends, let your faith, let your hope be in God. Can I hear amen? Amen. Look at it very carefully. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. You see, your hope is God. Your hope is Christ. It is not the things. That is what Christmas should remind you about. That your hope is in him. For thou art my hope, the psalmist will say, oh Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. Psalm 71 verse 5. You know, so hope is confidence in God and in Christ. Put your hope in there. Look at hope in God. Hope in God means a total grounding of one's confidence and expectation in God's goodness and providential care, even in the face of trouble. Look, hope in God is the confidence you have in him. Even in the face of trouble, in the face of confusion, in the face of trial, in the face of challenges, in the face of the impossible. When you place your faith in God, that is genuine hope. Because, friends, your pastor can fail you. Your mother can fail you. Yeah. Your husband may fail you. And you yourself as a wife, you can fail your husband. But God. So, place your faith. I'm talking about, this is what Christmas gives us. Hope that has God, that has Christ as the object, not people, not things. Christmas. So look at some of the things I want you to get. First of all, what do we need to do? What do we need to do about all this? Okay. First of all, number one, hope in God is commanded. No, hope in God is commanded. God commands us to have hope. Psalm 131, verse 1 to 3. It says, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters, or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. Look, hope in the Lord. It's a command. God wants you to hope in him. That's what the psalmist said. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. The Bible says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. God is faithful. God is faithful that has promised. Now, it's very important for us to note these few things, because hope is commanded. So keep the commandments of the Lord by hoping in him. The second thing I want you to note is that hope can be placed in scripture as the word of God. This Bible, this scripture, this is the word of God. You can place your hope in this. Yeah. Look at the scriptures. Psalm 119, verse 74. The Bible says, they that fear thee will be glad when they see me. Look at the scripture. Have you seen the scripture? Yeah, somebody's wife is called. Is that the wife? All right. Thank you very much. Make sure you put your phone on vibration or silent, or go and leave it in my office. Yeah, that's what I do. I don't bring my phone to church. I bring it to church, but I don't bring it into the church room. Is this a church room? Okay. Two. So the Bible says, they that fear thee will be glad when they see me. Why? Because I have hoped in thy word. I have hoped in thy word. The world will want you to hope in things. Some of you, your hope is in your credit card. They will call you. Credit card company will call you. Hello, Uncle Joseph. We are increasing your credit, whatever, to 10,000. Then you start speaking in tongues. the kind of tongue you speak, you don't know they are enslaving you. Put your hope in the word. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Look at it. You know, hope is hidden in the word of God. Look at it. Look at Colossians chapter 1, 4 to 5. It says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. You see where the hope is? It is in the truth of the gospel. That is where your hope is. You know, you have hope in the gospel. You have placed your faith in the word of God. Please put your hope in there. Stand strong. The third thing is that hope can be placed in God in the face of difficulty, confusion, problems, challenges. Look at Psalm 42 verse 5. It says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? At this moment, I've come to talk to somebody. Look, why? Look at your soul and talk to your soul. Because you look at all the struggle, the things you are going through, it's like there seems to be no hope. I prophesy unto you today with my spectacles on. By the power of the gospel, things will turn around. Because your hope is not in the things. Your hope is in the God who made the things. May that be your portion. May that be your portion. May that be your portion. It says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Now, hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. May the Lord overwhelm you with his countenance. Even in this hopeless situation, may God give you hope. May God inject into your heart this realm, this spirit of hope. He says, 2 Corinthians 1, 9 to 10. He said, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and that deliver in whom we trust, that he will yet deliver us. Look, God will deliver you. God will, look, even if he doesn't deliver you on this earth, he will deliver you to heaven. Yeah. Whatever it is, he will deliver you.
Yes.
For upon Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance.
Yes.
May the Lord God bring deliverance your portion.
Yes.
Especially during this Christmas season. May God raise up, may he stir up the hope in you. Because some of you, you are just giving up. Some of you, you feel like giving up. Some of you feel like even killing yourself. But this morning, I've come to encourage you that look. It means somebody is getting you to be. That is the English. The first one I spoke was tongues. The second one was she English. Somebody is getting you to do. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
May the Lord deliver you. May the Lord bring deliverance our way.
Amen.
Look at your neighbor and tell him, don't give up, 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 don't give up. Tell him, don't give up, don't give up. Tell him, don't give up. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Look at your neighbor one more time. We are preaching, we are practicing the preaching. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I don't know what you are going through. Tell him, I don't know what you may be going through. Say it one more time. Say, I don't know what you may be going through right now. I don't know what your situation is right now. But this morning, as your brother in Christ or your sister in Christ, I'm here to encourage you. Don't give up. Hope in him. Believe in the word. Trust in him, for he will deliver. Lift up your voice and shout yes. Now, that's not the only thing. Fourth thing is that hope is a Christian virtue. You know, hope is a Christian virtue. You know, I was listening to somebody and he said, you know, the word virtue, sometimes if you look at it carefully, you think it's character. But yeah, it has something to do with character, something to do with your your whatever. But it goes beyond. The word virtue can mean power. It can mean strength. Okay, it can mean source of encouragement from within. When the lady touched Jesus, the woman with the issue of blood, what did Jesus say? He says, virtue has gone out of me, which means power has gone out of me. Now, hope gives you power. It gives you virtue. It gives you life. If you don't have hope, you will die. Hopeless people, they do so many things. Among other things, hopeless people do about 4 or 5 things. It's in there. Okay, Kofi and the rest, maybe they can give you the slide. But let me just cover it briefly. Now, people without hope, they are without vision. They are without purpose. They are without aim. Okay, they don't see any importance, any significance in their life. So it means they are without life. People without hope, they get into a place of despair. And when you get to a place of despair and desperation and despondency, all you are saying, all you see about yourself is that there's no worth of you even living. So what the only thing that comes in your mind is to kill yourself or commit suicide or take your life. This morning, any spirit of suicide, any thought of suicide, I command you out in the name of Jesus. Amen. You will not die now. Even if you yourself, you are killing yourself by intentionally eating wrong. When we enter into next year, you will do the Daniel plan. Can I hear amen? The Bible says, now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. So you see that charity is the greatest, but it's a virtue. Hope is a virtue. Love is a virtue. I pray that by your faith in Christ, you will continue to be strong within so that the situation around will not destroy you. Look at your neighbor and tell me, you will not be destroyed by the current situation. Oh, let me end with this one. There's more. I won't finish. I'll just quit. Are you getting the point? Yeah, because I can't finish. I'll just have to quit. Then I'll continue next week. The last one is the hope of future glory. Hope gives you hope for future glory. Now, anytime you talk about future, sometimes some of our Christians and pastors, we've made it such as, I know it's been a struggle because we have overemphasized the prosperity doctrine so much that sometimes people even think that it's even wrong for Christians even to prosper. Okay, it's not wrong, it's just the balance. Sometimes, some of us also, we think about the future glory, oh, we are going to heaven, so much said that heaven has made us so much lazy on this earth. If you become lazy on this earth, you become lazy in heaven. You know? don't take your laziness there. Now look at Romans chapter 5 verse 2. The hope of future glory. It says, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. The hope of the glory of God. And all this has been made possible because of Christmas. Because of the birth of the Messiah. So you and I, who were alienated from the citizenship of God, who were not regarded, we were not even counted, today, we can stand and say, because of Christ, I have hope. I will be with God. I will see God. I will celebrate with him. I will walk on the street of gold. Don't worry if you don't get gold chain to put on. Don't worry. Don't cry. Don't kill anybody. You walk on them. But you won't wait to die and go and walk on them. You have to put someone around your neck. Can I hear amen? Amen? Oh, look at it. Colossians 1:27. It says, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. So you see, the object of your faith is Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's not the things you have, but Christ in you. And it says, Titus 2:13, I like it. That's why I have three scriptures here, because most of them, if you could work, is 2:2. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we do not know, but the trumpet of the Lord shall sound. The trumpet shall sound. Look, friends, hell is real. whether you like it or yes. Heaven is real. There's no argument. There's no debate about it. Don't argue. You don't worry. If you want to argue, die and see. Yeah. Don't argue with Wes. Don't fight over it. And for me, I don't believe. Sometimes people argue on other things. Like, should a Christian drink? You don't have to argue. No. Drink. If you want to drink. Drink. No. Drink anything. Drink bottles. Drink. Yeah, it's no argument. You read the word of God and the Bible tells you. You go to Proverbs. I like Proverbs 31. But me, I like verses 1 to 10. When I saw it, right as a young boy, young child, I saw it. I knew that this is God's word. He said, look, in this world, if you want to be great, if you want to do something exceptional, there are few things you have to watch out. Women and drink. Watch out. Africa is not succeeding. Our leaders are not progressing simply because they travel everywhere. We sign all sorts of contracts. By the time you get into the room to sign a contract, they give you whiskey. The things you are reading, I don't even see anything. This is the world. And most of us, young men, young women, young people, you are into business with somebody and you think where your business has gone into. The things that will show that you are rich, a businessman, is drinking and women. And that is the fall of most of people. The spirit of Christmas brings us hope. This hope does not just guarantee that you can do things anyhow. It is not just about getting it, but it is how to sustain. Friday night we prayed. Now we've prayed for you Friday night, but one of the prayers we prayed was, God, give us the grace to sustain everything that you give us. Yeah, some of you prayed, God gave you a wife, and your behavior is killing the wife. Some of you prayed, God gave you children. Your conduct and behavior is destroying the children. Some of you prayed and fasted, went to a chair, God gave you the man. Your behavior is not even making the man happy. The man can't even come home. But when you needed the man, you were praying. Now you have gotten it. Please, we need grace. Grace brings us into the faith. But it takes knowledge. It takes common sense. It takes wisdom. It takes hard work. It takes consistency to maintain it. I pray that you maintain it. Some of you came into this country. You made it. You had the money. It's not that you didn't have the money. You had the money. Your own behavior. It's not your grandmother. Your own behavior has destroyed it. You sit down and you always cry. You remember it and you are like, oh, I wish. But this one, I've come to encourage you. There is hope for you. Amen. Yeah. And the fact that, by virtue of the fact that you are alive, means that there's hope for you. Amen. There is hope for you. If you can know that you need help. There are some people, the hope is there. But if you don't know that you need help, so you have to assess the hope, you can't get it. You can't benefit from it. What worth is it when somebody gives you a gift and you don't use it? Let me end it here. This morning, I've just scratched the surface because I haven't gone to 3rd, 3rd, 4th point. I haven't gone there. I don't have to finish my points. I have to finish what God wants me to finish. I think God wants us to place our faith in Him. Can I hear amen? Amen. God wants us to understand what hope is. If you are not very careful, you just place them in the things that you have, but they won't last. Place them in Christ. For faith has a future glory. For hope will carry you on. Don't ever, 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 ever give up. Amen. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Because faithful is He that has promised. He will do it. You know, the person that you have placed your faith in is unchanging. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's God. He's not a human being. And said, there are two things I cannot do. Immutable things. I cannot lie. I cannot fail. The last time I checked, God is still the same. Amen. Let's be on our feet.
My hope's built on nothing less.
Come on.
Than Jesus' blood
and
righteousness.
Oh,
I dare not try. us the sweetest friend.
Oh,
by whom we lean on Jesus' name.
Oh, Christ.
On Christ the solid
rock I stand.
All the crown is seeking sand. All the crown is seeking on Christ. On Christ
the solid
rock I stand. All the crown is seeking sand.
Psalm 9 verse 18 says, God gives hope to the needy. Psalm 23 verse 3 says, God gives hope. God gives us confidence. Friends, this morning, I want you to know that the Bible gives hope to you. The resurrection gives us hope. Jesus gives us hope. His birth gives you hope. His life and ministry gives you hope. His temptation gives you hope. His arrest, his trial gives you hope. He gives us eternal life. Now, I don't want to end this by just letting you go. The greatest gift we can ever give to you as a church is to make sure that you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. This morning, if you are here and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, you have never accepted him into your life as your Lord. Maybe somebody invited you. This one, I want to give you the opportunity. Look, he is the source of hope. No matter how hopeless your situation is, if you turn it over to him, he will turn it around. If you want to give your life to Jesus, wherever you are, with every eye closed, it's a simple prayer. You can just pray three simple prayers and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Not because of the things you do, but you have taken your own will into your own hands. Say, Lord Jesus, today I have heard your word. You are the source of hope. Lord Jesus, I can't see any hope in my life where I am. But today I choose to accept you as my Lord. Jesus, take over my heart and my life. Take over my heart. Take over my life. Lord Jesus, I give you my life. You can just say that to him wherever you are. Pray that prayer and say, Lord Jesus, please today take over my heart, take over my life. Jesus, come into my heart, be my Lord. With every eye closed, I want to pray and thank God for your life. If you pray this prayer, if you prayed it, lift up your hand. Don't be shy. Lift up your hand. I want you to come forward. I just want to thank God for your life. Yeah, it's very important. Because look, if you are afraid, you are ashamed of him. Thank you very much. Father, I thank you for the hand that is lifted up. Even if it is one hand, don't worry. I didn't ask you to open your eyes and watch around. You are not a watchman. Yeah, you are not a watchman or a watchwoman. This is serious business. You are supposed to be praying that God will touch people. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord, please, and you pray the prayer and say, Jesus, I can't find any hope in my life, but I'm receiving the hope that is in Christ. Lift up your right hand. Lift up your right hand. Don't be shy of anybody. Lift up your right hand. Lift up your right hand. All I need is the board members keep, you know, just identify the hands, and then we know what to do. Help them. Lift up your right hand. I want to thank God for your life. Father, I thank you for the life of the hands lifted up. Lord, you are the only one who saves. You are the only one who gives hope. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for visiting them, for hearing their prayers, and for giving them hope. In the name of Jesus, I thank you and I bless you. In Jesus' name. Can I hear amen? All right, put your hands down. Now, those of you who raise up your hands, I'm sure the board members notify. We'll talk to you. We'll help you out with your work and your relation with God. Now, the second group of people. We are Christians. We know we have accepted Jesus. We say we have accepted Jesus. But you know that the way you are living your life, it is hopeless. You yourself, you know. that no, you have been doing it by your own strength. The Christian life, you can't live it in your own strength. Oh, you can't. You can't. That's why Jesus came. You know you are struggling with your life, struggling to live for Him. You don't have to struggle. You have to just yield to Him. This morning, I want all of us, a Christian, God, we have prayed and accepted. So now all of us, so let all of us lift up our hands as a sign of surrender to Him. And then I want you to pray a prayer of rededication to God. Oh, because sometimes because of us, people don't even believe in the gospel. You know, because of us. Because we haven't allowed the gospel to be powerful, to be evident in our lives. Lift up your voice. Lift up your hands. And ask God, the Holy Spirit, to help you, to strengthen you, to empower you. Ask God to give you the grace to live for Him, to live right for Him, to live right for Him, to speak right for Him, to behave right for Him. In the name of Jesus, ask Him for the grace. It's not by your own might. Ask Him for the grace to help you live for Him. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. The grace to live for Him. 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 The grace to obey Him. The grace to love Him. The grace to reverence Him. The grace to live by the word. Oh Lord, our God, help us, oh God. Lead us, oh God. Guide us, oh God, we pray. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. Lord, if anybody came from home hopeless, thinking that, Lord, his life is worth nothing, today, thank you for stirring up hope. Lord, no matter how old your children are, no matter how young your people are, the difference maker is the Savior in our lives. I pray that, Lord, you will save your people. You will deliver your people. You will empower your people. You will grant your people peace. Father, I inject hope into our lives. The spirit of hope endow and impart himself in you. In the name of Jesus, any suicidal spirit, I cancel in the name of Jesus. Father, any spirit of suicide operating even among our children, our teenagers, Lord, we cancel it in the name of Jesus. A Savior is born, saving us from the power of sin, the grip of sin, the consequences of sin. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, today, if there's any person here sick, battling any form of disease or sickness, Father, by the authority in the name of Jesus, I command and I speak forth healing in the name of Jesus. I declare you healed. I declare you healed. I declare you healed by the power in the name of Jesus. Can I hear amen? Amen. Now open your eyes and stand. Don't sit down, please. 1 second. Give us Isaiah chapter 50 verse 7. Let me see what is there. Don't sit down. Help me one. We'll do one thing. Then we'll be done. Okay. Is that okay? Okay. Isaiah 50 verse 7. Kabrosa taligrianda. The Bible says, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I've set my face like a flint. And I know that I will not be ashamed. And I know that I will not be ashamed. From now to the end of the year, nobody under the sound of my voice. Are you getting the point? It says, the Lord said, look at it. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. Lift up your voice and pray. Pray for the church members. Pray for everybody and say, Lord, Lord, from now, help us, because you will help us. We will not be disgraced. Nobody will be ashamed. Nobody will be ashamed by the power in the name of Jesus. Lift up your voice and pray. Lift up your voice and pray. The Lord is taking away disgrace. The Lord is taking away shame. The Lord is taking it away. The Lord is taking it away. No, you know, pray. Says, for the Lord God will help me. For the Lord God will help me. And then I know that I will not be ashamed. You 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 will not be disgraced. You will not be ashamed. You will not be disgraced. You will not be ashamed. You will not be disgraced by the power in the name of Jesus. You will not be ashamed. You will not be disgraced by the power in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we bless you. Lord, we honor your name in the mighty name of Jesus. Libaza tola kabaswa. Lambrazele lebro kataya. Zile lebraza lalianda. Kazata labra kuyandia. Zele lianda lalababia. Zala lianda lalababia. Kezato lianda lalababia. Zele lianda lalababia. Kazato lianda lalababia. Kazota lalabianda. Thank you very much. Now, throughout this week, pray this prayer. 2 Samuel 10:12. I will leave you with that one. Please. I wanted to end, but I felt that I needed us to pray this. So let's finish it. We'll go very soon. I'll leave you. 2 Samuel 10:12. 2 Samuel 10:12. Thank you very much. Okay, let's all read it together. Ready, go. Let's read it one more time. Be of good courage and let us be strong for our people and for the cities of our God. And may the Lord do what is good in his sight. Lift up your hands and pray and say, God, do what is good in your sight. Lord, inject courage into me. From now to the end of the year, you will not die before your time. Nobody, you will move it, you will make it. It doesn't seem like it, but God has injected hope. Pray that God release upon you courage in the name of Jesus and do what is right in Jesus' name. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Now open your eyes and let me inject some hope. May the Lord bless you and keep you. I said, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord God Almighty, the only source of hope, may he turn your situation around. Amen. You know, the situation is said that me, I can't do anything about it. Oh, may God, who knows you more than I do, may he turn the situation around. Amen. May he surprise you this Christmas. Amen. May he endow you with hope in the name of Jesus. May he grant you courage. May he take away any form of disgrace, any form of shame, in the name of Jesus. May the Lord give you a smile this season. In Jesus' name. Can I hear amen? All right, put your hands together and celebrate the Lord. Oh, let's be seated.
The song, little rock I stand, all on the ground, he's seeking sand. All on the ground, he's seeking.
Thank you for your time. We pray that this message will continue to be a blessing in your life. Please visit us at livingwordag.org or whenever you are in the Greater Toronto Area, Ontario, Canada. This podcast is made possible through your generous donations. God bless you and keep you. Join us again soon.